The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome in, welcome in, welcome once again to the newest edition of 3 In, 3 Out, the most unique Seahawks recap show in the multiverse. I'm your host, Clinton Bonner. Come on out and find me on Twitter, at Clinton Bon. I am joined by the one, the only, the great, Brandon Schultz, and find him out on Twitter, at SeahawkersPod. We're coming at you. This is Monday, before even Monday Night Football kicks off. Brandon, the wounds, these are still real. They're deep. There's salt in them. I'm salty. No way in heck we should have lost this game. I am still pissed off that we did lose this game. And I'm wondering, you and Adam did a nice recap last night. How are you feeling about 24 hours removed from a game we never, ever, ever should have lost?
Yeah, I don't know how nice of a recap it was, considering, you know, we were all frustrated about what we saw on Sunday. But yeah, I'm not over it either. I'm assuming that a lot of our listeners, you know, it's one thing to lose to a good team. And when you think that, oh, well, you know, it was close and things could have gone a little bit differently. But when it's a team that two of their three wins are against a Broncos team who barely managed to put up 10 points on the Carolina Panthers, that hurts. It hurts, Clint.
Yeah, it does. I said previously that the Raiders were, a markedly better team than their record suggested. They sure should have beat the Cardinals going away.
Yeah.
They lost to KC by a point. They had that game also wrapped up. So I don't think this was a bad team. You know, I thought they were, and still are, kind of poorly coached. They let us back in at some point.
Some coaching decisions in this game where, and play calls on that one.
That's what I'm saying.
On that fourth and short, where the Seahawks only do a four-man front and they decide to pitch it out to the left side.
Oh, weird, weird.
Like, what,
right?
A weird call.
Yeah, especially when they're moving us off the, you know, the interior so, like, just at will.
Yeah.
Just at will at that point of the game. And we'll get into all that in 3 In, 3 Out. So I think they let us hang around, but then we also let them hang around. It was such a back and forth weird game. Shouldn't have lost it. The one thing I'll say is at 6-5, the data says that we now went from a 90% chance if we had won the game to making the playoffs, now down to 33% chance.
Oh, wow.
However, I don't believe the hype.
It doesn't feel like 33%. It feels like the chances are a little bit higher.
That's what they said. You know, they showed that stat 90-33. Yes, the Commanders are now ahead. Yes, the Giants are ahead. Cool. Commanders play the Giants twice. They play each other twice. And their schedules outside of those games are not easy. And we already beat the Giants. So everything's not lost. This team is still pretty darn okay in certain aspects. I still think we're making the playoffs. I'll say that out of the gate here.
I bet the low number on that percentage is because with Tampa and the Falcons both at having a similar record, and the potential that maybe one of them could get in to, because if we're tied with one of those teams, we lost both those head to heads. And so I think that that's where maybe that low percentage comes in.
It could be, you know, I'm not sure which one we need to root for now. Right. And Ryan Bone with the 33%. So you're telling me there's a chance, right? So the wonderful Dumb and Dumber there.
I go all the way down to 1% and I still feel like we're in it. Until we're mathematically eliminated, I am still rooting for the playoffs.
Absolutely. And so I am by no means giving up on the playoffs. This team did do some really good stuff. We will go into it all on 3 In, 3 Out here. It's going to be, it's going to be fun. And before we do all that, hey, we got some people chiming in live right now on YouTube, youtube.com/Seahawkers podcast. Make sure you're subscribing, hit the like, share the Hawkra. And then wherever you get audio, we're doing 5 shows a week, folks. So the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between. We're talking Seahawks because we love this team regardless, we love the, you know, we love the emblem. We love the throwbacks that are coming back next year. We love the whole thing already. But I did not love this outcome, Brandon. I did not love this outcome. But we do love what's on the screen. Want to tell the good folks what that's all about.
Our live executive producer, Ryan, coming in with the $9.99 super chat. When we go to overtime, we don't turn any ins into outs. That's the rule, right? Looking at you, Brandon.
Maybe. So we're going to try and we're going to get through this all. We got to rip the Band-Aid. We don't win. We don't get to start with the you know what. Let's hit the whammy. We got outs to get to. Let's do out number one. As you all might know by now, we like to paint the canvas here, a la Bob Ross style. I literally cleaned my sock drawer on Sunday morning. Literally, I know that's like a excuse to not get a date, but I was cleaning my drawers out, putting crap away, doing like a Goodwill bag, and I found a pair of Bob Ross socks that I never opened. Got out of the they're nice. They're like fluffy on the afro. It's got little, you know, sayings. He's got like a squirrel in his hand in one of the images. It's really nice. So
one of those Christmas presents that you stashed away. And
yeah, so if you get those for Christmas
for Clinton on Thanksgiving weekend,
that's it. I may re-gift them to you. That's how important it was to me that I haven't even opened them, but they're lovely. So I'll start wearing them soon now that I rediscovered them. All right. So rediscovering this first out, it's 9 minutes to go in quarter one, 7-7 ball game. And this, I have a series of our three in a row. We have the ball at our own 48-yard line. So we're right at midfield. Some of the negatives begot negatives in this game. They piled up on each other. Now, some of them, we had some escapism, you know, like Walker loses 72 yards on the thing where he's trying to survive. And then Geno bails him out in that part of the game. This particular one, this is where on the first play, Billings makes Blythe look bad again, right? Blows him back. It's a tackle for a loss. Okay. It's 2nd and 13. The next play is Disley, where he forgets his hands. That's an easy first down, drops the ball, just forgets that he has hands. Uh-huh. The next play, Gabe Jackson gets beat by Bilal Nichols, number 91. Bilal Nichols plows through Gabe Jackson. So I'll start with, I really was just upset with the way Blythe played and like getting just manhandled by Billings throughout the entire game until Billings got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, to hope the dude's okay. So Blythe could wear the out for all I care. But just some of these negative bundles we got were just annoying the crap out of me. I'll give Blythe the first out, but the packaging of it all, it's just they affected us. We had a negative, and then we piled on top of that with dumb things like a drop that Will Disley should not be dropping a friggin' ball. So frustrating first out. It's Blythe's, but it's a combo deal.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That negative on first down, you could probably survive if Will Disley catches that pass from Geno. You know, as much as I love to dump on Blythe, I can't give all of the blame to him. Phil Haynes deserves some of the blame in this game too. And they were getting pressure even from the outside, from the tackle. So, I mean, everybody on the offensive line struggled, but particularly in the run game, I think it was Blythe and beefy boy Phil Haynes that struggled the most. I don't know where the beef was. It was not in this game. I think Billings had all of it.
The beef was left behind, I think. We'll get to the next in right away. And an extra out that I had on the bottom, just to say it now, was when we ran the ball on 2nd and 5 in overtime. When we got that first the first play to lock it, after we get the ball back after the field goal, we a 5 yard out to lock it. Great. That 2nd and 5 run. First of all, I'm like, at that point in the game, what the F are we doing running the ball? Why run the ball at all? It's not working. And that particular play, all you see is a beefy boy completely turned around where we're staring at the back of his jersey.
Yeah.
And you know, that's never good.
You never want to see that.
That was my extra out. You hit it already. Let's get out of negative town. We got to move quick today. Let's go to some ins. So now it is quarter one, 6:05 to go. It's 7-7. The Raiders are on their own 26-yard line, and it's a 2nd and 8. So on this particular play, this results in, this is Diggs' second interception play. Now, nice play by Diggs, all well and good. He's not getting the in from me here. This part of the game, Brandon, our run defense up into this point, In fact, probably the first quarter, it was actually pretty good. On the rewatch, like, ooh, we're crashing down. We're making, all right, Jacobs is getting 2 yards, 2.5 yards, not 5, 6, 7, 86. So, you know, we were just fired up at this point. And this is Carr under center, Jacobs in the backfield, and Foster Moreau just runs a seam route. And, you know, we don't get the all 22 yet, but you could still see Cody Barton pick him up kind of right away and just start to trail him best he can upfield down the seam. Carr tries to fit it in, and Barton does a beautiful job. You know, Barton probably played, I don't know, he may have been the best defensive guy for Seattle. He was pretty consistent, I felt like, actually. On this particular play, makes a beauty of a play, gets his hands in there, deflects it, or at least causes enough of a smoke screen that it causes the ball to bounce. Diggs gets his second interception of the match, and away we go. I'm giving the in to Barton. I thought he did a very nice job. Throughout the year, we've seen him lose depth and not carry things. So, and we've called that out on the negative. So on the positive, he did the job the right way. Great job. Gets the deflection. Diggs gets the second INT. And away we go with the ball. Barton's getting the first in from this game.
Okay, because I did get a production note from Ryan at the beginning of the show, I'm not going to go to negative town on any of our ins. So I will say, if I were to pick one guy who on the defense was most consistent, I think it would be Ryan Neal. And all of the defenders, they had bad plays here and there. I mean, even Quandre, he graded out in terms of PFF at the top, but I think a big part of that was having those two interceptions.
Yeah. Yes.
But there are plenty of negative plays that you can point to with Diggs too.
Diggs missed a big tackle.
The guy right behind him is Al Woods. And no, see, you're trying to take this to negative town. I'm trying to say Ryan Neal, the most consistent player on defense for me. That's my positive.
I hope he's healthy. You know, I hope it's not a bad elbow injury. The one thing I'll say about Neal is he should have caught that interception. That's the very next play, is that wheel route to Abdullah that Diggs completely overcommits on. I get Diggs's mentality, because you watch it and you're like, all right, third and whatever, don't play soft. You know, if he's going to dump it there quick, make a stick and keep, you know, stop first down.
Yeah. But to Diggs' credit, I think I was thinking the same thing, is that Carr was going to get some pressure and then he was going to do the quick dump off
right
to the
away,
back.
Right.
And then I think when the back saw, oh, they're not getting any pressure, I'm just going to run deep. Yep. And that's when he got burned.
It was. So let's get out of negative town. That wasn't in. That is to Barton. Neal did play pretty darn good. I agree. Hopefully he heals and doesn't miss any time, because he's really important. All right, back to the gutters.
So Phil saying that your Barton call out is also terrible. So
minus plays. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But there wasn't a lot to select from on defense. Let's be fair about that. But it was still a nice play on defense by Barton on that particular play. All right. Yeah, well, I was going to say back to the ins. Nope. Head to the outs. Q2, 2:40 to go, 21-20 at this point. Raiders got the ball at their own 45-yard line. This is the 3rd-and-2 play. And all right, 3rd-and-2, they're basically at midfield a little time before the half. Carr's in shotgun. Abdullah's in the backfield. Amir Abdullah. Cool. Which all game long meant they're not running the ball. All game long. Like, okay, Abdullah didn't really get that many carries.
Yeah.
It's 3rd-and-2. They're in shotgun. They're throwing the freaking ball. You look to the top of the screen, and Tariq Woolen is in press coverage on Mac Hollins, right in his grill. Cool. Sounds good to me. You just traverse down the screen, and Mike Jackson is 8 yards off Devontae Adams. Eight yards. Devontae Adams goes 4 yards north, turns around, and it's not even like on time. The ball's like even a little bit late.
Yeah, it didn't have to be on time.
No, because he wasn't even on screen. He wasn't. So to me, whether that's how he's being told to play that.
That was a defensive call. It had to have been.
Just being like, hey, give Adams all the cushion in the world on 3rd-and-2. I'm going to still blame it on Jackson, because he's the dude on the field who's got to execute. But I think we were all pulling our hair out, being like, how could you not press him and then double him with, you know, Diggs is down the box. Yeah, there,
Diggs,
right?
Diggs came over to help out on that.
Yeah, he was right there. Right. So double him. So he's not getting behind you, but don't give away pitch and catch first downs in a 2 minute drill off, a 2 minute offense. It destroyed me, Brandon. I'm still pissed about it. So I don't know if you have more to add to that.
It was one of the more frustrating third and short pickups because the play was so obvious that with that much cushion and Devontae being the guy right there, it was just an obvious play that he was just going to run a quick out and pick up the first down. Yeah, it drove me nuts.
I don't know what the tape review looks like when they get to that. You know, I just hope they can course correct or just be like, hey, we can't do that. We have got to be more aggressive and be okay with a dude getting over the top on us.
He seemed pretty happy that they kept Devontae to a normal amount of yards. So I feel
sort
like
sort of. I yes, and I think he also, you know, announced or like admitted it was like it came at a cost.
Oh, sure.
You know, like 300 something yards or whatever it was by Jacobs, right? So
and it still shouldn't have been that bad.
No, it should not have been that bad, but it was disgusting. All right, I'm disgusted. We're disgusted. We're all disgusted. Let's get to the next in. Okay, this is probably my favorite, most ballsy play of the game that I was proud of our Seattle Seahawks, and in this case, Seattle Seahawk. Quarter four, it's 15 minutes to go, so first play, quarter four. DK Metcalf just converts the first down to close out the third quarter, 27-27. We got the ball at our own 25-yard line. Like, all right. Like, in my brain, I was like, we're still going to win this game. I was like, we're going to outscore them in the fourth quarter. I was pretty confident that we were going to. Mm-hmm. This is now Geno under center. K-9's in the backfield. You got Lockett and Goodwin split right, and Goodwin's kind of in the slot. Goodwin just runs a bit of a seam. He just goes upfield. Geno fires the ball to him. You get about 20 yards downfield. It's a tiny bit behind Goodwin, but probably where it had to be to, you know, place the ball. So he's got to kind of go back across his shoulder. He makes one heck of a catch, and he gets, no pun intended, rocked by Rocky Sin there.
You did intend that pun, I think.
Maybe a little bit, but like to the ribs, like such a just shot he takes from number 26. He holds on to the ball. Just a lovely catch by Goodwin, who's been good all year, has been consistent. He comes up big. I wanted to give some love to Goodwin. That was a gigantic play. Unfortunately, that drive results in the K-9 fumble. So we're not going to negative town fully, but doesn't result in points, but that's not Goodwin's fault. Goodwin did all he could do to put his body on the line and made an awesome catch. So the in to Goodwin in a big, big moment.
It also led to the play where Walker got spun around and it was a huge negative play. But then it led to the Travis Homer play that was a huge positive play. So right. There were big positives and negatives all as part of this one drive. And it was Goodwin kicking it off really well. I mean, it wasn't the first play, but it was the first play of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And one of his more spectacular plays, actually. PFF agrees with you. The highest graded Seahawks offensive player of the day, Marquise Goodwin.
Wow. Well, what do you know? I think he had, what, three receptions and you know, X amount of yards. All good. The play after the Walker play was really special, but Geno, that was nice. And Homer makes a great play, too. Like, so
Homer had a couple great catches.
Yes, he did. He was, and in certain instances, he was definitely more north and south than Walker was. Like, that's what it is.
He was out in space more than, well, I guess his one, he had one inside run, but that stands out anyway.
And, you know, and I don't particularly put the inability to run the ball on any of the running backs because he still scored two touchdowns. Both of those touchdowns were solid touchdowns. That second one being, you know, Beast Modian type touchdown, right? It just, there was nothing there all day long. It was a grotesque effort, just getting owned on the offensive line. And that's disgusting. And we've successfully turned it into another out. So,
we're two for two. We're two for two, Ryan.
All right. Sorry, Ryan. My bad. All right. One more out. Let's hop to it. This is another little bit of blanket coverage. My out, it's not like it started in overtime. And this is not about giving up an 86-yarder, which was gross. And it's not about punting on fourth and five, though I wish we hadn't. I thought Adam did a great job. When he said it yesterday, or when people were calling out I was like, well, I could see punting. We had stopped them a few times, stop them once more, get a punt. But then when Adam laid out the idea that there's 4 minutes to go, even if we are successful, and success would have been they're only trying a field goal attempt from a pretty good distance. That would have been like, okay, you know, like, you know, that would have been pretty successful against that team
Pete, but you know how Pete Carroll thinks in that moment. We pin him back on the goal line inside the 10. They go three and out. We get the ball back, and then we kick the field goal after that.
Right. Yep. And the punt wasn't quite good enough. It starts with that, right? Yep. And this is not even about that, but the punt only got him down to like the 14 or 15. That's gotta, you know, just gotta be. If you're punting from the 40 something, you know, anywhere there, you gotta put the ball within the 7. I mean, within the 5, within the 2. But so it wasn't a good enough punt to start with. My out actually is I'm gonna give it to Puna. Puna started the game so well. Like started the game on fire. He had the rib shot to, he had the rib shot to Carr. I think he got one of the sacks. Puna was on fire. Maybe they just wore down and that's part of it. But by the time overtime rolled around and even late third, fourth quarter, all I saw was, how do you say his name? It starts with an E. The right tackle, Elemenor? Elemenor?
I don't even know who you're talking about.
I think it's Elemenor. It's something like that. All I saw was Puna. Literally 5, 6, 7 yards pushed downfield.
Yeah.
Like over and over. And I realize we're sitting in different fits that are more fit to pass rush. I understand we went overweight that way, if you will, by what I heard from the press conference and by some of the coverage. Okay. And with that, are we unable to stop? Like if we're in a, you know, if we think they're going to pass, are we just doomed? If they run the ball, we have no shot at stopping a run? Because that's what it came down to. So Puna's wearing one for me, man. I just felt like he had to be better, more consistently second half on. And in overtime, it just showed out again and again and again. He's 5, 6, 7 yards downfield, just getting blown off the ball. It was just gross. That's my third out, Brandon.
Yeah, I think it's fair to go to Puna there. I think you could, pick any of the defensive linemen. You look across the board at the PFF grades and the first, 5 of the first 6 players on run defense are on the defensive line. LJ Collier, Brian Monet, Quentin Jefferson, Shelby Harris, and Puna Ford. Actually, the highest of those 5 defensive linemen, but still in the, how they color code it. They go from red to green, and Quentin, Shelby, and Puna all in the orange, but not good. I actually had Puna in my in column for a couple of the plays that he made early in the first quarter.
Yes, me too.
Because he had the sack on Carr, where he makes this great play where it was like he pushed up under the elbows of the guard to get him off balance. And then got in there for the sack. The very next play, he's tackling Jacobs for, I think it was maybe just a short gain. And it led to one of the only 3 and outs by the Raiders. And yeah, it was. And I wish I could have seen more of that. But yes, for this defensive line, I'm in agreement with Phil here. D-line gets a big pouty outie.
Yeah, pouty out. Yes. And it's, you know, you reminded me, I have my ledger sitting right here. And my first in was Puna. Like it didn't make the final 3.
Well, yeah.
You can't
offset all of that bad that came after those couple good plays early on.
It seemed like he ran out of gas. Like he just like straight up was out of fuel by the end of the game, which again, it's overtime, but it was happening well before overtime. He also put the shot on Carr on the play that Neil should have picked the ball, where Carr gets the rib injury either way, Puna was played a very, I thought we played a good first quarter defensively. Mm-hmm. We were flying across the ball. Obviously the pick in the first 5 seconds helps a lot. But overall we played aggressive and fiery. And then it withered over time. They took our souls. It's very disturbing that you could go watch the Bucks Browns game and the second half of that game, the Bucks couldn't do a darn thing. And in overtime, the Bucks couldn't do anything. Rashad White had a good first half. Second half, Rashad White did nothing versus the Browns. And 2 weeks ago, we're seeing him just own us, as the game goes on. And then we're seeing Jacobs, who's a better back, own us as the game wore on. So not a great, not a, it doesn't portend too well to our ability to, if we do make the playoffs, to contend seriously against teams that could do that. If you watch what the Eagles did to the Packers, you start being like,
This defense is good enough to be able to stop one thing. And once you get to the playoffs, you have to be able to do more than one thing.
We got to put up like 45 points, which by the way, we could, but we got to throw the ball like, which is weird, but we got to throw the ball even more. All right. So that was the last out. We do get to end with an in. So we got one more in. Let's hit the whams. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, Brandon. All right. So this in.
And this year, I get a pair of Bob Ross socks that you forgot about.
And I don't know if anybody kept track of the Madden mentions. I didn't hear any
Madden mentions in that game. Yeah. So no maple syrup lollipop for me.
That's right. Not this. Maybe I'll put it back up.
I didn't expect any Bo Jackson references, but we got those.
Yeah, those came aplenty. That was great. The dude with the sport lineup, little figurine. I forget what that's exactly called, with the card. I'm like, this guy travels with that. In one brain, I'm like, oh, what a dork. In my other one, I'm like, that's pretty cool. Those are awesome. I'm like, well, those are pretty valuable. If that's, from the 80s, packaged like that. Those cards are cool. Those figurines are cool. All right. So this in is also in overtime, 6:27 to go. This is when the Raiders are at Seattle's 37-yard line and it's 3rd-and-1. This was the moment we actually stepped the frig up and stopped them on 3rd-and-1. This was all Shelby Harris. Shelby Harris sleds. It's Dylan Parham, who is a rookie from Memphis. So I got to look him up. The 90th overall selection. He started every single game for the Raiders this year, number 66 out there. And Shelby Harris puts on a clinic in this particular play, gets under his pads, literally lifts him up, sleds him, pushes him a good 2.5-3 yards in the backfield. Neil, to your point, Neil is crashing in. He does a nice job too. And Harris is able to get the tackle for a loss, sets up 4th-and-2, and then Carlson misses a long field goal. Mm-hmm. And we have the ball, and we the rest of what we should have done from that point forward, and we know what happened. But Shelby Harris, in what could have and should have been the biggest defensive play in the game, he did the job, needs to be recognized. And I think that's the play Neil gets hurt on too. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Just love giving some extra love to Neil also, but giving some love to Harris on the way out of this in, at least in the biggest moment, he did do it. But in my brain, then thinking like, why are we punting? Why is Pete punting? Because he thinks we'll do it again.
Yeah, so he saw that play from Shelby. We expect to get it again on the very next drive. And unfortunately, it does not happen. But yeah, I think Shelby Harris, to give him the in here, that was one of the highlight moments of the game. And if the Seahawks are kicking the field goal and winning it after getting that stop, he's being celebrated for that big moment. And so for him to be in this position as the final in, I think that's deserving.
I think so too. We made it through all ins and all outs without mentioning.
I don't know why two of the defensive players got ins, but again, we don't. While we're going, I mean, we may as well make it 3 for 3 on turning on outs to ins.
Right,
to outs.
Right. I mean, the nooks, the crannies, the whole thing already. So it's there's twists and turns here, right? It's yes, the obvious thing is to give all the love to the offense, but there was defensive plays that were huge. So that's the why. So, okay. I do want to ask you, the fumble was the fumble. I still think that's a fumble. Fine. Horrible call, but what are you going to do when they blow a phantom whistle? Like, that's just terrible. The DK catch, I actually still think, even upon review, I still think he caught that ball. I think I see it getting a little bit loose, but I see him pinning it against his body again. And I think he's like still rolling out by the time he has the ball still. I was convinced that they were going to call that a catch after looking at it for literally 10 minutes. I don't know where I heard what Adam said, but I didn't know where you had come down on that one.
It was too long. It definitely changed. It's just, you can't take that much time to make a call.
Gosh.
Either you see that it's incomplete or and that there's plenty of evidence to rule it that way, or you don't. And yeah, for it to take 10 minutes, it's ridiculous. That's really where I come out on it. I guess it seemed to me a catch in real time. You had to slow it down to like the slowest speed and inspect every frame to try and come up with a reason why it was incomplete. If they would have called it incomplete on the field, that would have been fine with the if they look at it and go, yeah, it was moving, so they call it incomplete. It's just make a call, stick with it if it's close. It reminds me of all those pass interference penalties, right? Where when pass interference was reviewable for that 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year, yeah.
And they kind of looked at it quickly and said, oh, yeah, there was enough there to call it the way it was called on the field. That's how quick it should be.
Some sort of shot clock, right? It's like, you know, it's like, oh, well, they want to get it right. But again, if it's indisputable and you have to have all this evidence to turn it over the way it's called in the field, I agree with you. Just taking that long is like, well, then you see something here that's making you go, I don't know. That looks like you could call it a catch, and then it should just be a catch because it's then therefore it's not indisputable. It is what it is. The fumble, you know, I know Phil's chiming in on that too. The fumble was the wrong call, in my opinion. I did rewatch it 1,000 times. Yeah. I don't think the ankle shin
actually
was hitting by the time the ball's popping out. Just the fact that they blew the whistle or, you know, say the forward progress is stopped is absolute nonsense. All right. So that's we're landing with that sloppy steak on the ins and outs. We do have from the flock. Let's hop on over to the goodness and, let's relish in some of the great from our great listeners and fans and flock.
Yeah. And if you want to become a member of the flock, you can go to getintheflock.com or you can join via YouTube. If you're watching us live, there's a join button there and you can become a member of the flock. You can get a little badge next to your name on YouTube if you like that sort of thing. Yeah, just lots of ways to contribute, whether it's through our Discord, $3 a month or above, get you into our Discord group. And there's a 3-in-3-out channel where folks leave their ins and their outs. And you can also tweet at Clinton Bond, use the hashtag 3i30. And we're going to get to reading some of these ins and outs.
Yes, we're going to start with Car in the Discord. She wrote, in, what a start, all caps. She was right. That was a heck of a beginning. Loved it.
Nice to see. Yeah, between the interception and then the following touchdown, I was still trying to get the game on my TV when all that was happening, but a great start for the Seahawks. Now onto the outside, Dr. G coming in saying, there is only one out, rushing defense. What the catfishing catfish.
Yep, he double catfished there and rightfully so. Yeah, it was as bad as it gets. It is on tape that you could do what you want to us by running the ball. And that's not a good thing to have on tape. So we'll see if we can correct that. Now we have Chris Farnsworth out on Twitter at ChrisFarnswar14. He goes, out to the Seahawks, lack of defensive game plan. Looks like the first month of the season, no tackling or coverage. Same three plays worked every single time. I think he was talking about certainly the runs. I think just some of the outs. I forget what the third play is, but yeah, it didn't seem like an overly complex Raiders offense. It just seemed like they were doing what they were doing was working and they stuck to it.
Chris comes back in with an in saying to the Let's Ride curse going strong. Broncos lose again.
Yes. Right now we have about the fourth. If all things shake right now, the fourth pick overall, is that right?
The third. Yeah.
Third right now. Okay, good. Real legitimate possibility that could become the second. Like legitimate, that would be something, right? So go all teams playing the Broncos. Imagine if the Texans are the one, they're looking pretty locked in to get that. Mm-hmm. Imagine if we have the, gotta think if they're benching Davis Mills now, yeah, gotta think they're going to go for a franchise quarterback. I would think they would if they really are giving up on Davis Mills at this point. And if they do, if we have the pick of the litter from a defensive standpoint, yes, please. That would be something. All right, we have Nate_real estate at realestn8 out on Twitter. Out. Pass rush. Gino in. Gino. Sometimes. I thought Gino was pretty darn good again. Mm-hmm. The one piece that was frustrating with Gino, Brandon, was he seemed to skip a couple of easy balls to lock it on like, The couple of times they went to lock it, like in the fourth quarter.
Oh, and DK too. I mean, the pass that was incomplete to DK, well, ultimately ruled incomplete, was he doesn't have to throw it that short in that position.
Yeah. Little short on some of those comebackers and things like that. And a little frustrating there, but overall, certainly I don't put this one on Geno, you know?
No, but he could have, I mean, everybody could have played better, including Geno.
Yep.
Wilson Kahn in the Discord, the Wils in Dallas took Twitter's advice to heart in the return game.
Yes, I think he caught it and went north and south, which was great. And also
even split a couple Dallas guys and almost made it through.
And
you could see him pounding the ground in frustration, thinking that he could have split that gap and taken it even farther. But
yeah, he was a little pissy with himself because he just was like, I'm just not that quick. You know, he's like, I'm not fast enough to make it through that hole.
Yeah.
But he did go north and south and it was a nice job. All right, we have Suck It Russ in the Discord in. This is also Dallas. Dallas not fair catching the punt in the first and actually running upfield. I thought Dallas also did a nice job when he did fair catch one later, but he had to like run really aggressively to the sideline and he caught it at the 9 yard line. That ball was doomed to be down to the 1 yard line. So that's a nice play. You know, it's worth calling out.
Wilson Kahn back in with the Wils out. Wilson, that doesn't work as well as the Wilson. Our red zone offense is trash. And look, you convert one of those and we're talking about a Seahawks win. Don't kick a field goal once out of those two tries and it's a win. Oh, it's frustrating for sure.
It is. And this is the other area of Geno's game where you can have some frustrations because he gets a little spicy, a little risky, around the red zone. Yeah. Careful, Geno. He should have been picked off, you know, the one time where it was actually, you know, juggling, that was called, you know, no interception. That was rightful. But just before that, I think, actually the, on the touchdown run to Walker, the first touchdown run, the play before that was interceptable. Mm-hmm. The one he tried DK. So he had a couple that were like, ooh, Geno gets a little bit, he gets a little, I don't want to say overconfident because you don't want to take that away from the dude, but he definitely gets a little like, oh, I could fit this thing here because he's pretty dang precise. But when the space is so condensed, he's taking some risks that I think are like back shot of the end zone where it's like over three dudes. Like maybe there's a guy in the flat, maybe.
Yeah, I think in the one play, he was trying to throw it up so DK could do the jump ball thing. Mm-hmm. And DK, for whatever reason, was already out of the back of the end zone and not even in the play. So,
yeah,
I could see what Geno was going for in that moment. But yeah, it you know, it's tough to expect perfection in the red zone. But when your defense is so terrible, also in the red zone, you almost have to be perfect.
The last thing I'll say on that part is I'd like to see a scheme up some things that really use like Goodwin's speed and Lockett's like ability to sit down in the zone. All right, we have Car. She says, in Lockett's ability to separate at just the last second feels magical at times. Beautiful, beautiful ball down the sideline. The Lockett touchdown. At that point, I'm thinking we got this game. You know, Lockett ends up with 68 yards, could have had more, three receptions on 7 attempts, couple of balls skipped to him, just a couple of things missed, but that was a beauty, so worth calling out.
A live out here from Barry, a.k.a. Van T, out. The chemistry rhythm between Geno and the coaches felt like the first 2.5 games. Looks like we weren't prepared again, but the Raiders' defense isn't nearly as good as the Bucs.
I agree with the last part. The Bucs are a better defense. I think Waldron had some struggles. It's like brilliance for most times. And then you get to a series where we run a screen to DK, a draw to Walker, and a screen to DK on 3rd and 11. And I'm sitting there going, what was that? Like, we didn't throw a ball more than a yard downfield. And what do we do? And they got to punt the ball in a key situation. So we just hit these weird patches where we just tried to do weird ass stuff. We're running out of the pistol. Cool. What happened to 13 personnel? Where was that? Where did it go? Like It works so good. Let's never do it again, right? Like, where did 13 personnel go? No, we got to do these back to wide receiver screens. So I do hear Barry's. That's at least what I pick up when I hear Barry's, live from the flock there.
Chris Boucher, a.k.a. Bobby Boucher, out to Bruce Irvin, losing contain on the fourth down conversion toward the end of the second quarter. Can't crash inside that hard on fourth and two. Need to set the edge.
I don't remember it specifically, but if Chris is calling it out, I trust him.
I think it was where he crashed down and then Jacobs, or maybe it was the other back that was in for that play that was able to just bounce it out around the edge. And I think they only picked up like 5 or 6 yards or so, but it was enough. Obviously to get the first down, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah. And we got Design Pete's Beach House. This is Amy in the Discord. She goes in Lucas getting the assist on Walker's second touchdown. That was a fun touchdown. That was cool. And it was nice to see the all in Jamaican bobsled team, pushing from behind, cool runnings as K-9 got his second touchdown in the game. But, some love for Lucas there, deserved.
Yeah. I just like watching Walker's feet on that play and how he was able to stay up and stay balanced. It was pretty incredible. Jeremy Evergreen with the end. Me putting on my Beast Mode jersey at halftime to give our team a boost. Giving an end to K-9 and the whole offense for pushing him into.
Yes, kind of a leap off of what Amy had said. Agree. We got Gene Bo also in the Discord. Out. I feel like Goodwin could have stayed in bounds to get a first down in the fourth quarter drive, and he just stepped out a tad earlier than he should have. This is a nice end around to Goodwin. Goodwin does a nice job. He stays kind of patient, gets a little wider. And then, he does he just doesn't put his head down and just get that extra half a yard or do like the Pat Mahomes. We see Pat Mahomes do it every single week. He'll get his feet in the right area and then he'll do the reach out with the ball, right? Yeah. Out of bounds. He'll do the reach out and the refs give you that half a yard every single time. So I had the same sentiment when I saw it, Jimbo. I believe we convert on the next play, but still, you don't want to have to.
No, it was, his back foot stepped out, and right. I don't think he just had the awareness of where that line was with his back foot.
And
you need to have that.
Agree.
Good contusions. Don't want to have the bad contusions.
No.
Is there a good contusion? Out to the refs.
Yes, out to the refs. They weren't great. Not the reason we lost, but certainly a contributing factor to the loss. No doubt about it. All right, Boye's biceps out. Why have we gone away from the tight ends? Mm-hmm. This is also later in the game when he's tweeting this. Or saying this in the Discord. Noah Fant was on fire to start the game. He had two big catches within the first, 10 minutes of the game. Disley has the drop. There's a little bit of tight end love later, but agree.
I thought they started off the second half with going to tight ends. And am I thinking about that?
Forgetting
right?
How we get the ball. I don't remember the first drive in the second half, to be honest.
Yeah. Noah Fant got one, I guess. Maybe that's, I'm just remembering that one, but it was on second and five. It almost picked up the first down.
Yeah, they did real quickly. They did do that. They did bring back some of the drag route stuff. Now it wasn't 13 personnel, but they did some of the drag stuff on the boot. And one time they queued it up for Metcalf and he got like 11 or 12 on it. And this is kind of like, Metcalf getting 11 receptions, nearly 12, 15 targets. Yes, please. I like watching that guy get the ball and go put his head down and get the first down. It's enjoyable.
Something good is going to happen when you give him the ball that many times. And we didn't see like a huge breakout play, but we were moving the ball with him and he.
Exactly. Yeah. He moved the chain a lot, he was super effective.
Frost, an in to Travis Homer. He had a game, deserves an in.
He does. He did. And he does. And he did. And we did. And Travis did the things. Nice touchdown. We called about the second and 23 play earlier as well. Played well. All right, we had Bailey Liborn out on Twitter at Bailey Liborn. Have to give an out to the defense as a whole for this game. And Woolen continued to do his thing for the most part. But there's no excuse giving up 40 to the Raiders considering how well they had been playing prior. What the heck happened? I think I wrote back to Bailey on Twitter. We got owned on both sides of the ball. And that is what happened.
Snap down, out, Geno's clutch. Yeah, he was not so clutch in this game. end of the 12s in the stadium, only part of the team that excelled all game, helped the team as much as anyone could.
Yes. All right. We are going to skip down to Kenneth Reyes. Kenneth in the Facebook Ring of Honor out. D-line, O-line, tackling, pass blocking, pass rush, Geno pocket awareness in, Marquise Goodwin. And he did use the, you know, the inflection there with the question mark. I think there was more ins than just that, but I think Kenneth is also making a point and the point is well received. And we got the close out here. Why don't you start us off with the close out and we'll call it a wrap on this show with Hawk Van Dyke. Take it away.
And out. You can't make this up. This week is the anniversary of the Bo Jackson Monday night game. Yes. Gross. Reminded of that during the game, unfortunately. And yes, for Jacobs to go off, a huge out. That is a huge, huge out. In triple improvement of draft pick, the loss improves our own, Denver loses, and we pop the Raiders above Denver too.
Silver lining.
There's a silver lining. Mm-hmm. Out, I didn't hear Woolen's name at all. Brandon may be right. The rookie wall is real. I think he didn't hear Woolen because Woolen was not being challenged at all. Like the Raiders mm-hmm. did not go that direction. Every time, I called this out on the post-game show, every time Adams was lined up across from Woolen, and I'm sure my mom and my wife got tired of me of calling out, it's a run play to the defense every time that Woolen was lined up across from Devontae Adams. But yeah, they ran every single time. And the final in announced on Twitter during the game, 1990 throwbacks next season.
Yes, those would be sweet. It's about time that those come back. It kind of even disappointed that we didn't do it this year. I'll be interested. I'm the symbol and the jersey, cool all day for the throwback. I'm most interested to see what do they do with the helmet and how do they pair it? And is it just going to be the old school kind of dullish silver, you know, that gray that goes with it? Or will they do something like, you know, the Bengals have those all whites they did this year, and other teams have done, the Texans did like an all red and got away from their navy blue, and they had a red helmet that kind of went off on their uniform. So I wonder if it's going to be not just the throwback, but will they do something with the helmet? Could the helmet be like that Kelly emerald green? Could the helmet be that royal blue? You could do different things. So, you know, I'm kind of hoping they not only bring the jersey back, but they throttle the look just a little bit and combo it with the classic. Cause I don't know. I'm all for something new.
I love that. Amy, thanks for chiming in. Thanks for making this garbage better. Barry, good show. Thanks, Barry. Yeah. And Barry calling out in the chat too. Colby Parkinson. Like, where is he inside the red zone? Maybe they need to be drawing some stuff up for Colby.
He's only like 7'12", right?
Like he doesn't even need to jump.
No, he doesn't need to jump. But we do, Brandon. We do need to jump. We need to refocus as we need the Hawker to be strong. We got plenty of good shows coming up this week. So follow along, of course. Share the Hawker. This is when we got to buckle down and not shy away. I like sports radio the day after a loss and podcasts and all day. Sometimes I don't want to listen. I'm like, oh, I don't want to listen. But you know what? We have to collectively encourage each other to fight through this and then come out against a Rams team that's just weird right now, weird, and do what we can never do and just beat McVay. We have got to win this game. Have to.
It must win game coming up.
Yeah, we're in must win season again. Hey, we'll take it and let's roll on from there, Brandon. And with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates Sophia Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.